It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to Titans and Broncos coming up on Sunday. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nick Kosmider, who covers the Denver Broncos for The Athletic. Nick, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. So, Nick, I'm just curious, from your interactions with Broncos fans and what you've seen thus far, what's kind of the temperature of the fan base as it relates to Russell Wilson and the way that he's played and the way that he's looked so far this season?
That temperature is cool, with hopes of warming up, I would say. I would characterize it that way. I think there was some understanding that there was going to be some that there were going to be some growing pains involved in having a new quarterback playing in the first place, a new place for the first time in his career, coupled with the fact that you had a first-time head coach. That's just a lot of newness, new scheme. New ownership. So everything here was new, and so I think there was an expectation that it was going to take some time. But I don't think anybody expected this. The 30th-ranked scoring offense in the league, tied for the fewest touchdowns in the NFL through their first eight games. They just simply have not been able to create enough consistency offensively to be dangerous on that side of the ball. And so, fans are hopeful that their three touchdown game in Jacksonville was a sign of things to come, that they can start developing more weapons offensively. But for now, it's kind of a wait and see approach, I think, with this fan base.
What do you think? And I know that you wrote about the wristband thing going back and forth with Russ and and Pete Carroll and all this stuff, and Hackett, there's a lot to learn about him. But just Russell Wilson, from what you've seen, Nick, as a player, the state of him physically as a player right now, do you think he has diminished?
It's interesting because we see, if you look at the overall numbers, obviously he's on pace for some career lows, completion percentage, touchdown passes. He's trending towards some of the worst marks of his career. But when they're going well, you see in flashes some of the same Russell Wilson that won games with the Seahawks for years, right? His ability in big moments to use his legs to either run for a first down himself or create extra time outside of the pocket. He still has one of the best deep arms in the league. He's been extremely explosive when he gets man coverage. So I don't think physically, I think the kind of the tales of his physical diminishment are sort of exaggerated. But I think what you're seeing is that, he came to Denver with this sort of hope that, kind of a new, he called it Russ 2.0, this like different chapter in his career, where I think he was going to, believe he could live in the pocket and just, throw 45 times a game. And what you're seeing right now is that there's just not a perfect meshing of his, kind of his skill set and this scheme yet. I think it's coming to a more of an understanding with him over the last couple of weeks that he's really got to kind of buy into this system that they have in order to be successful. And so there's just been a lot of tug and pull, in that relationship.
Nick Kosmider from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Nick, obviously Bradley Chubb traded away from the Broncos to Miami. What does the loss of Bradley Chubb do to this Denver defense?
Well, it's interesting. I think that with the long-term view of this trade, I think the Broncos, made it for a couple of reasons. One, they had very little draft capital after trading for Russell Wilson, right? They gave away their first and second round picks in this past spring's draft, and they had no first or second round pick in the 2023 NFL draft. And Broncos GM George Payton says it's no secret we need picks. So to get a first round pick for Bradley Chubb, a guy that internally they decided they were not going to sign to a long term extension after this season. That's good return, and they have enough faith in some of these young pass rushers, guys like Baron Browning, Nick Benito, the rookie second round pick, and then of course Randy Gregory, who they signed in the offseason but is currently on IR. They have a lot of faith in sort of the young outside linebacker group. Now the short term implication is interesting because of all the games where you need sort of your heavy edge rusher guy, right? Bradley Chubb's about 270 pounds, a guy who really sets the anchor for them in the run game. For this particular game, it's a bad time to lose him because you're also without Randy Gregory, your other star outside pass rusher. Baron Browning, who's been really good for them, is going to be kind of a game-time decision. So you're talking about Nick Benito, again, the rookie, and Jonathan Cooper, a second-year player who was a former seventh-round pick, as the guys who have to go out there and try to set the edge against Derrick Henry this week. It's going to be a tough loss for them to overcome in the short term, but I think in the long term, it helps them in a couple different ways.
Yeah, and you had a really It's punched my mic. You had a really interesting piece, Nick, about the Broncos looking at Derrick Henry, which of course is a focal point for every defense that's looking at the Titans every week. But talking to Jacob Martin, who of course has been a part of some ugly games defensively against Derrick Henry when he was with the Houston Texans, but how much, just being around the locker room and stuff, how much are guys just talking about that? How much do you feel like this is sort of a, well, I mean, what was the term? Was it man up, or it was a term like that?
Man-maker.
Yeah, man-maker. Yeah, I mean, that's clearly the focal point, right?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of eagerness for this defense. And kind of the way that I wrote it, so much attention has been put on this offense and sort of their slow start and kind of how much they are trying to, like, get things figured out. And Denver's defense, by most markers, has been one of the best in the league, right? Kind of its overall, you look at the advanced metrics, you look at scoring, they're the best red zone defense in the NFL. A lot of markers have them at the top. The one area they have struggled at times is defending the run. It lost them a game against the Raiders when they let Josh Jacobs kind of go crazy at the end of that game. They struggled against Travis Etienne last week. So this is a huge test for them, and I think they understand that the only way that they're going to be able to have a chance to emerge from Nashville with a win is to be able to play better against the run than they have through much of this season.
Nick, what have been your impressions of Jerry Jeudy to this point in his career as he continues to try to emerge as a top target for Russell Wilson in this offense?
Yeah, he's right now going through one of the better stretches of his career. The last three games, he's really started to kind of find himself a rhythm. He's another guy who, if you get him in a one-on-one matchup in coverage, he's one of the best route runners out there, and he's going to develop sort of a way to get open just about every time he's in those situations. Right now, he's learning to be a better receiver, against zone and sort of be able to find the soft spots, be able to come open for Russell Wilson. That's sort of been his big thing that he's learned throughout the year. And I think you're going to see him by the end of the season be Denver's most, kind of high production receiver, surpassing Cortland Sutton in that regard. He's a guy that continues to have a lot of talent. He'll be in his fourth season next year, so they'll have a decision to make on him in terms of a contract extension. So this is a big final nine games for Jerry Jeudy.
Okay. I just unmuted myself on Zoom, but not my actual microphone. So, I mean, this is really
– Rex Road's all over today, Nick.
This is going to the Radio Hall of Fame interviews. Absolutely. My goodness.
Well, I've got a dog and a kid yelling in the background. So, collectively, we're really
right now. This one goes in the time capsule. I know how that goes. So I gotta be honest. I absolutely did come on this show and call for Nathaniel Hackett's firing after the time management issue in the very first game of his career as a head coach. Maybe I was a little bit rash with that. But you've been there the whole time, and Nick. I mean, Hackett has had his ups and downs and has come under some fire. I think some of it fair. What have you seen from him just in terms of adjusting to that, dealing with that, and kind of navigating this thing through this initial season?
Well, the one thing I give Nathaniel Hackett a lot of credit for is he stood up there and taken every arrow. He has shouldered the majority of the blame for every offensive issue that they've had, he's certainly responsible for some of it as the offensive play caller and the head coach, without a doubt. But there's been other instances. There's been games where the Broncos simply have not gone out and executed plays. There's been games where, looking back at it, for the Broncos, their loss to the Colts might be one that ultimately torpedoes their season, a game in which Russell Wilson threw two fourth-quarter interceptions, including one right at the end of the fourth quarter that it was just confounding. So Nathaniel Hackett has been entirely accountable, and he has gotten better in the game management area. That really felled him, obviously, in that week one loss to Seattle. They beat the Texans in week two, but it wasn't without a lot of those similar issues. They've really cleaned it up from that regard, and I think players have continued to buy into what he's preaching, that they're continuing to play hard for him. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to show offensive progress. That's what this all comes down to in these final nine games. You can't score 15 points a game and expect to do anything. They need to show progress, and that comes down to his relationship with Russell Wilson, those two being able to come together and, put everything else aside and just find ways to win games and get in the end zone.
Nick, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on with us.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. Nick Kosmider from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, covers the Denver Broncos for The Athletic. We'll take your thoughts on the matchup between the Titans and the Broncos. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll also get to something Rex Road just threw out there. Is this a test of the manhood for the Denver Broncos coming up on Sunday against Derrick Henry? All that coming up next. Make sure you tune into this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Green Bay Packers at 3:25. NFL Game of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune into the College Football Game of the Week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game tomorrow as MTSU takes on Charlotte at 2:30. College Football Game of the Week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. Thanks to Nick Kosmider for joining us in the last segment from The Athletic. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Broncos coming up, and there is a very interesting piece that Kosmider put up there about the Broncos' approach heading into this game. And that term, Joe, man-maker. This is from Jacob Martin. Those are man-maker-type games, which I enjoy, describing the Titans and Derrick Henry's rushing style. He compared it to his playing days at Temple, taking on Army and Navy. So maybe not exactly what you think of when you think of an NFL offense, but the Broncos preparing for a man-maker game coming up on Sunday against Derrick Henry. Joe, your reaction?
Well, it's interesting that he would use that term because, I mean, I think then he's been in some games that were child-makers because the Texans' defenses he were on, of course, as we've talked about a lot, just basically get trampled every time they see number 22 coming at them. So, man, I guess this is his chance to try to atone for that. You know, as Kosmider pointed out there, you know, Chubb, great pass rusher, but also an edge setter. You know, and that's a big loss. And they got some other absences. So, And the rush defense numbers, although their overall defensive numbers are very good, the rush defense numbers aren't great anyway. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for the Titans. The thing is, you know, you hear defenses talk like this, and I totally get it. But when you start talking about, like, comparing this to triple option teams, like, if Tannehill plays, the Titans can make you pay, I think, downfield some if you're going to be that focused on just Derrick Henry. And that's what they've got to be able to do. You know, they need 17 in there, and they need Burks in there, and they need to try to start getting towards some balance. If they can add that to some of the advantages they already have in this game, then I actually think they could have a decent offensive day.
Derrick Henry, the NFL rushing leader right now heading into this game. So, obviously, we know he's going to get the ball a lot. He's not really been out there. He was a limited participant Wednesday. He was on the injury report, but it's rest, basically. He did not get out there yesterday and take part in practice. But we know he's going to be available. He's going to be out there on Sunday against Denver, and he's probably going to get the ball a lot. I am interested to see, you know, if Tannehill's playing in this game, how much do you try to throw the ball down the field? How much can you try to throw it down the field? I would have to think, as Cosmider pointed out, without the top two pass rushers for Denver, one of them being hurt and the other one being traded away to the Miami Dolphins, that you feel a little bit better if you're the Titans than maybe you would have a couple weeks ago heading into this matchup about dropping back and throwing the football. But also, the question that I just don't know the answer to, Joe, with Tannehill in there, if he's in there and playing, I still have a hard time believing he's going to be 100%. So if you're Mike Vrabel and you're Todd Downing, how much do you want to drop him back and throw the football? Like, how many just straight up drop back passing plays are they going to have with Tannehill in there? I don't know. My guess is it'll be more than you'd have in there with Malik Willis, but I can't imagine it'll be a situation where Ryan Tannehill's throwing the ball 25 times on Sunday.
Yeah, not ideally. I think, for one thing, I think you're talking quick drops and quick passing to protect him. But if you can get the running game going, and you know, play action can work even if the running game isn't doing a great job, but especially if it is, you know, those play action moments can be, you know, can be really good for you. Of course, they're a little bit longer developing, but you should work to freeze the defense and then give yourself a chance to actually do something downfield. Can anyone take advantage of that downfield? Well, there's another question, but I mean, like, you, if Tannehill's going to play, if he's healthy enough to play, then you've got to get back to throwing the ball like somewhat like an NFL team. You know, the interesting thing about Cosmider's story too is, you know, it mentions the Titans' heavy, you know, run trend and the last couple of games, but the last couple games are obviously extreme cases, you know. I mean, the Titans are a low 20s passing attempt team when they have their actual quarterback in the game, you know. And that's, to me, they've got to still be right around that to be a functioning offense most weeks.
Wes in Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, why are they still so secretive about the Tannehill injury? Talking about the Titans.
Well, I don't – I mean, are they?
He's got an ankle sprain.
He has an ankle sprain. They have to fill out an injury report. So today we'll see. I mean, obviously you could look at the last 2 weeks. You could probably especially look at the Houston week and say, well, they probably could have just ruled him out Friday, right? And they didn't. But, I don't know, coaches don't mind the idea of their opponent having to guess because I just – look, if you're a defensive coach looking at the Titans – Tannehill or Mike Willis, you don't expect the same playbook at all.
No.
No way. I don't buy that at all. You're a different offense. So there's some value, I think, in playing it coy when you can. But I don't think they're being secretive this week. He was a full participant yesterday, and we'll see. I'm gonna guess that he gets a third straight questionable. And I guess right now I'm gonna guess he plays. I keep guessing he plays, and I keep being wrong. But maybe he'll just be no designation and it'll be confirmed today that he's playing.
Now, what do you make of the idea that Kim on Twitter threw out there earlier? We were going through the injury list for the Titans. It is quite lengthy, especially on the defensive side of the ball heading into this game against Denver. And Kim threw out the idea of maybe the style of play that the Titans play and how physical they want to be. Maybe that's why they seem to be more injured than everybody else the last couple of years, and seem to be is not the right wording. They are more injured than everybody else has been the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't really put a lot into that. I mean, they play. It's the same style they played in 19 and 20, and injuries weren't what they've been the last couple of years. I mean, first of all, when we say the Titans want to play physical, what are we talking about? I mean, they want to play physical on defense, but is there a team in the NFL that doesn't? I mean, there are teams in the NFL who don't have Jeffrey Simmons and maybe don't have some of this, like Autry, of the physical. But those guys deliver the punishment, right? So I don't think it applies to defense. She must be talking about running the ball, right?
I was going to make a Lions joke, but then they shut down my football team last week, and I can't. So
no, you can.
I'll leave that one to you.
You can absolutely make a Lions joke. You can always make a Lions joke. Trust me. They've earned lifetime joke status, even if they beat your team. So if it's about them running the ball, that's the difference, right? The Titans are different from NFL teams in one way. They stress the run more. So does that get them hurt more? I think most offensive linemen would tell you, I'd rather be firing off. Now, I guess there's more banging that way, especially if you're running a gap scheme. I mean, if you're running, you know, the bread and butter outside zone, you got some crackback blocks and stuff like that, but I mean, that's actually less, I think, physical than like a gap scheme. They do gap scheme too. Derrick Henry would be the guy who would be the real source of punishment, but he punishes, right? So I don't know. I don't really think that's a thing.
Well, look, I do think the Titans defensively play a more physical brand of football than a lot of teams in the NFL do. I do think a lot of that is Jeffrey Simmons, and a lot of that is the front that they have in terms of kind of establishing that. Now, you could throw David Long in the mix, but to your point, like, it's defensive football in the NFL. Everybody's trying to tackle. Everybody's trying to hit. Everybody's trying to cover and be physical. So it's not like the Titans are exclusive there. I do think personnel-wise, they're probably set up to have more success playing that way than some other teams in the NFL are on the defensive side of the ball. Does that lead to more injury? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is dealing with an ankle right now. I mean, Christian Fulton is dealing with a hamstring right now. Now, the Zach Cunningham thing, the elbow, that's not good. Bud Dupree's got a hip going on. Like, is Bud Dupree's hip injury a result of being physical, or is it a result of he's just got a bad hip this year? You know, like, it's just the injuries are just so different in their nature.
Yeah, like the guy who would their style of play, the number one player who should get hurt from it is Derrick Henry. And granted, he broke his foot last year, which you could theorize has to do with usage. Maybe not. I mean, just a weird, an awkward plant on not grass, and he broke it. But he doesn't get hurt other than that. I don't know how. It's amazing. But he just keeps taking these hits, and then the other guys are the ones in the ice bath.
He does. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em, in which I'm struggling mightily in this competition the last few weeks. We'll get a standings update. We'll make our picks for this weekend coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is sign up with promo code ROB. I'm taking the Cowboys on the money line against the Packers. I've been telling you about it all week. Green Bay is broken right now. They are in shambles. And I just think that Cowboys defense will be way too much for the Packers offense. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel, all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Sign up today with promo code ROB for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and the Titans all in action this weekend. We'll get to those picks and have three individual picks apiece as well. Joe Rex Road, before we get to that, a quick standings update in the competition.
Yeah, well, you thought you stunk last week. We all stunk last week. I guess my badness is rubbing off on you guys because we all went 2-4. We all missed our locks. We all got 2 points. So, it's still tied at the top. Robbie, 31-23, 35 points, 4-5 on his locks. Michelle, 30-24, 35 points, 5-4 on her locks. Me, 21-33, 22 points, 1-8. 1-8 on my
locks. Wait, so Robbie and I are still tied, you said, points-wise?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, you got, yeah, he's got a better record, but you have one more lock. So, there you go. There it is.
That's the only thing she cared about in that entire discussion.
Yeah, correct.
About your record, Rex Road.
That's fine. I'm just here trying to maintain the integrity of the competition.
All right, with that in mind, let's get rolling today. We begin with Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Kentucky favored by 17.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Michelle, since it is the Kentucky Wildcats, you have the honor of going first. Vanderbilt taking on Kentucky. Kentucky favored by 17.5.
Listen, I really appreciate that. I'm taking, and if you guys heard me do my Superbook reads earlier, I'm taking Vanderbilt plus the 18. I actually think that Mike Wright will be able to run it a little bit, and I'm kind of excited to see this Vanderbilt team with him again. But I think Kentucky will win, but Kentucky's offense has looked bad, and I honestly don't think they can win by 18 points. I think this is going to be a very low-scoring game. So give me Vandy plus 18.
So it's 17.5, though, right? Just to be clear.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 17.5.
It's 17.5.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter that much, but.
I'm going Kentucky. Give me Kentucky minus 17.5. I think it's a mismatch problem for Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt's got a lot of those on the schedule in the SEC. And I think Kentucky ultimately ends up winning this game by 21, 24, somewhere in that neighborhood. So I will take the Wildcats, even though the weather's going to be bad, and that makes me a little bit nervous, but give me Kentucky minus 17.5. Joe Rex Road, Kentucky favored by 17.5 against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I've picked Vanderbilt a lot to cover this year, and part of why my record's bad. So I'm going to go with Kentucky. I think.
Oh my gosh,
I think
guys!
I think they're going to run the ball effectively. I mean, it's. I mean,
Vanderbilt's horrible.
I mean, yeah, like,
I know. Just believe me, I know.
Yeah, I think they're going to run the ball, and I feel like the weather. I just don't think Vanderbilt's going to get much going at all offensively. Something like 24-0 or something like that, you know?
All right, Missouri taking on Tennessee at Neyland Stadium tomorrow. The Vols favored by 20.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'll start on this one. I will say there are some elements of this matchup that made me a little nervous. The weather's not going to be great. Missouri's got a good defense. I think this could be a little bit of a slugfest in the first half for Tennessee, but ultimately I think they pull away. I think they win by about 24, so I'll go the Vols minus the 20.5. Joe Rex Road, Tennessee favored by 20.5 against Missouri.
Yeah, this is a tough one. That line, like if it was 21.5, you know, it'd be a little different. But I feel like the Vols are going to win something like 34-14. You know, something in that range. I think they'll end up winning handily, but I think the weather is going to serve to keep the overall score down a little bit. So I'm actually going to take the 20.5 in Missouri.
Michelle Knezovic, Missouri and Tennessee, Vols favored by 20.5.
I'm taking Tennessee minus the 20.5. I think this is going to be a big statement game for them. I know the weather is going to be iffy, but I think the Vols are going to put up some big numbers, and the Missouri defense will not be able to stop them. So give me the Vols.
There we go. Moving on to the Broncos and the Titans on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Joe Rexroad, you're up first. The Titans favored by 2.5 in this matchup.
Yeah, and 2.5 makes it easy because, like, I could totally see, like, 17-14 or something like that, 16-13, something like that. That's probably going to be about that. But, yeah, I'll take the Titans, give those points.
Michelle Knezovic, Titans favored by 2.5 against the Broncos.
This one is very easy for me. Give me the Tennessee Titans and make it my lock.
Guaranteed.
I think they win by about 3. I think it's a very low-scoring game, but I feel very confident in the minus 2.5.
I'll go to the Titans as well, although I could also see this game being like 10-9 either way. So
that'd be awful.
I don't feel great about it, but I will go with the Titans minus the 2.5. I have a gut instinct, Joe, that Tannehill is going to play, so that makes the that'll make the difference for me. All right, we move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle Knezovic, you're up first. Your first individual selection.
Okay, I'm looking at the LSU Arkansas game, and LSU is favored by 3.5. I know this could potentially be a trap game for LSU, but listen, I think LSU looks great right now. Give me LSU minus 3.5. I think they win by about a touchdown. Let's keep in mind Arkansas just lost Liberty last week.
Oh, and you got a great head coach in Hugh Freeze. Sometimes that happens. So we'll see if he finds himself in the mix for the Auburn job. I'm going to start in the NFL, Joe. And I'm doing this, number one, because I believe it. And number two, maybe it's reverse psychology. Give me the Cowboys minus 4.5 against the Packers and make it my lock. I'm locking down. Packers are terrible. They have 1,000 guys on the injury report. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. And this might be the best defense in the NFL that they're going up against. So I will go Cowboys minus 4.5 against the Packers. Lock it down on it. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
The only question on this was whether it was going to be my lock or not. It's not, but I'm the exact same thing as Michelle and LSU Arkansas. I think LSU is going to win that, not in a blowout, but somewhat comfortably.
Both of you are being trolls. Joe, your second individual pick of the program.
And yes, we are rooting for the Armageddon scenario.
Go Tigers!
So, and I think I'm different than Robbie on this one. TCU at Texas. Texas minus 7.5. I don't love the half. Don't love that. But I actually think primetime game day, Texas, you know, they inevitably don't show up in some moments, but sometimes they do show up. I think they're going to put one on the Horned Frogs and wipe the Horned Frogs out of the playoff discussion, which, of course, Vols fans would love to see. Give me Texas.
Michelle Knezovic, your second individual selection.
Are you guys ready for this one? We have got
probably not
the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. The Bears are favored by 2.5. Give me the Bears minus the 2.5.
I mean, you and I are going to pick all the same games.
I'm sure dozens will be watching that game.
I will have to.
I will take, in a battle, Joe, that I'm sure you can appreciate in the Big Ten, give me Wisconsin minus 1.5 against Iowa. It's going to be an absolute slugfest out there. The final score may be 4-2 with three safeties involved in the game, but I'll take Wisconsin minus the 1.5 against the Hawkeyes.
God, Joe Rexrode. What a beauty that one will be.
Yeah, it will be. Joe Rexrode, finish us off with your final individual selection.
Well, yeah, again, I just keep copying Michelle's picks. I swear, I had them written down already, but Lions, Bears, minus 2.5, yes, Bears, and make it my lock. All day long.
Whoa, Joe. Bears fan.
Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. I'm total cheeks. I'm toast. I suck. So who cares? I'm going to lock against the Lions every damn week just out of spite. So there you go.
Joe Rexrode locking against the Lions. Michelle Knezovic, your final individual selection.
Okay, last one. We've talked a little bit about this game this week, considering Josh Allen will not be playing. Minnesota Vikings at the Bills. Bills are favored still by 3.5 there. Give me the Vikings plus the 3.5, and I also think that the Vikings will win this one outright.
There we go. Taking Minnesota. Kirk Cousins. Captain maybe Kirk. Taking his shirt off again on the flight home. We'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. I have two that I'm deciding between for my last pick, but I think I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go to the NFL. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers plus 1.5 against the Saints. The Saints suck. The Steelers suck, but the Steelers are at home, so give me the plus the 1.5 for the Steelers. I think they'll win this game against the Saints because Mike Tomlin's a really good coach, and they got to win every now and then. So give me the Steelers plus the 1.5 against the Saints. That's terrible logic, but I'm doing it anyway.
It's not bad. Junie approves. I'm sure he's gearing up for the big one. Got the face paint ready. Come on, Junie. Steel curtain, baby. Get that terrible towel out.
Listen, if Kenny Pickett was playing on Sunday night with the Titans, they would have easily won, was the latest
team. Oh, that's right. You and Junie got a little Twitter battle. See?
Big.
We can't lose these Twitter battles. You can't do that on TikTok.
I mean, Are either one of you going to watch more than 2 seconds of the Bears and Lions on Sunday?
I will be required to, Robbie.
Well, wait, what time is that game? Are you not doing the Titans game?
Oh, I am, unless it's at the same time. Then I'm exempt.
Yeah, I'm exempt. I'm hoping it's the same time,
well,
even if
I cannot imagine that the Lions-Bears is the late game on Sunday. I haven't looked.
Yeah, it's the same
time. Surely to God, it's not. Yeah, I was about to say.
So not 1 second. Not one freaking
second. Justin Fields,
second.
I mean, he's pretty fun to watch.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you like the field.
Guys, he set an NFL record last game.
Stop with the Bears fandom.
No.
Bear
this
down.
Is not Bear fandom. This is he set an NFL record.
Yeah. No, I like Justin Fields. I like Justin Fields. I agree. He's fun.
Just December 4th, everyone. December 4th.
Is that the rematch?
Packers.
Is that the Bears-Packers big rematch? Oh, yeah. All the NFL will be a Twitter on that one.
I don't even think about the Chicago Bears. That's how relevant they are. No, I really don't. I don't even think about it.
You'll be thinking about them a lot on December 5th.
And that'll be the
I severely doubt it.
Well, it's December 4th, that Sunday?
Yes.
That's the same day that LSU gets into the playoff over Tennessee.
Oh, my gosh.
What a day that'll be.
Robbie's quitting.
The more likely answer is Robbie's probably going to jail. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll give our final thoughts on a busy weekend in football. We'll touch on the Preds. Anywhere you want to take it on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in this Sunday following the Titans game for the NFL postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. The postgame show brought to you by Renters Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, custom order your new Ford from Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So all of us picking the Tennessee Titans to win coming up on Sunday against the Broncos. Still don't exactly know that Ryan Tannehill is going to be in there, but y'all be honest, like I feel good about the formula the Titans have being a good formula in this game, regardless of who's in there. Now, the one thing that I will say that could change the way I feel about this game, if you're the Titans, if all of these guys defensively that are on the injury report that haven't been out there practicing the last couple of days aren't in there, I have an open mind as to what this, to this point, terrible Denver offense could do against this Titans defense.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's, I tell you, it's, you know, if you just think about the idea of 98 not being on the field for the Titans, I mean, that's just something that you're not used to seeing, you know? So, like, what does that mean? By the way, on the text line, Joel, it says, don't tell Dr. Jared Stillman you can aggravate a low ankle sprain. Yeah, no, I honestly, I didn't know that you couldn't. But apparently, you can't, or can you?
We'll have to ask him.
I mean, but seriously, like, you can aggravate a lower ankle sprain. And first of all, have you ever called it a low ankle sprain?
No. But, I mean, if there's a high one, maybe there's got to be a low one.
I guess. Isn't it just a regular ankle sprain?
I mean, I probably. But maybe that's the low ankle sprain.
How could you not aggravate that?
No. It's actually amazing. I was very confused when that comment was made.
Yeah. But, the thing is, again, with all this, in all seriousness, you can. And, if you're the Titans, like, it's a conversation you'd never have in public, but you have it in private. Like, can we get through this week without Jeff and Amani and Bud and Zach and Christian? And, like, is it possible? And against this offense, you may think so.
Maybe.
You may be right.
Could be. You very well could be. Although, I mean, we heard it from Kosmider earlier this hour. He doesn't believe that it's a physical problem with Russell Wilson. Maybe some factors around him and, you know, throwing the ball 45 times a game, not working out so well, but doesn't feel like there's been much of a diminishing skill set with Russell Wilson. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and look, he sees every play. When I've watched him, I haven't been impressed, but how much of that is Hackett not being able to, you know, take advantage of what he does well, or just other deficiencies? I don't know. But all I know is right now looks like a terrible move by the Broncos.
They are coming off their bye week. They've had some extra time to prepare for the Titans. We know, you know, Andy Reid had a great record off the bye week. Vrabel's got a great record off the bye week, and this is the chance for Nathaniel Hackett really to establish himself coming off with the extra time.
Oh, you had a chance to say bye week again there. You didn't take the opportunity to say it four times.
I was about to say I said it three. I can keep going.
Yeah. No, we'll see. Is Nathaniel Hackett, is he 1-0 all time? Because he'll be 100% next year. They'll be talking about it, you know, if he can get this win. But Vrabel actually did make a – somewhere along the way, like, hey, another team coming off an extra week, you know.
It is an interesting scheduling quirk, I will say that.
It really is. I mean, I've never heard of that. I'm sure it's just, you know, something random, but that is something you need to look at, don't you, if you're the NFL? Not give a team, as the season advances in November, December, a bunch of opponents who have 2 weeks of rest? I mean, I feel like that could kind of hurt that team.
You would think. And this is also the other thing to start, you know, keeping in mind. You know, the Titans had their bye week so early. I know they've got kind of what Aaron Rodgers likes to refer to as a mini bye coming up after the Packers game, where you've got the Thursday night game and then you've got that weekend off, essentially. But the Titans are getting ready to play a whole lot of football from their last bye week to the end of the season into the playoffs. There are advantages and disadvantages either way. Like, if you have your bye week too late, sometimes you're limping to get there, but I think I'd rather have mine too late than too early. Like, you got a whole lot of football you have to play now if you're the Titans.
Yes, your idle or off week is much better later than early. And it is a mini off week, but it's in a mini opponent too, I guess. So you can look at it that way. But then from there on, once they get to Bengals, and you get the tougher part of the schedule too, it's straight on. That's where you look at this week, you look at going Thursday to Lambeau, it's like, if – with some of these guys who could go, but they could aggravate it, how much risk reward can you play where maybe you hold a couple back who, if it was the playoffs, they'd play for sure. And I don't know if there's guys in that exact situation, but there's probably a couple guys who could play if it was absolutely must win game situation, who you look ahead and you know you have that 10 days after Lambeau where it's like, how much better off will he be coming off that? And you think that way, right? I think you think that
you
way.
You do, but Andrew is yelling at you on the text line right now, just yelling at you about this crazy talk, he puts it. Can't go 5-4 with a loss to the crappy Broncos. Play the starters. Andrew's upset at you.
Right. So, I understand you can't lose the game, but you still, with injuries, you still have to, like, if Jeffrey Simmons is a, let's say he's like 70%, that's still a really good football player.
Yeah.
Right? So if it's a must win, yes. If it's the playoffs, of course. But if it's not just like that you can get away with the win, it's also, are you going to aggravate it and then it's going to be 70% the next week and the next week and the next week, right? I mean, you have to play that game. You have to do the long-term thing and what you can get away with. And some weeks, I mean, the Houston game, you can get away with some people getting extra rest. So I'm not saying, like, if Simmons is able to play at the level he's played the last two games with the ankle, then, yeah, he'll play. But I'm thinking with the boot and with the re-aggravation late against Kansas City, there's a pretty good chance he's not out there Sunday.
Joe, on the Preds front, this thing has a chance to get ugly if they don't turn around soon. And some people would say, well, what do you mean has a chance? It's already ugly. You got the Rangers coming in, who just hung up 8 last night on the Red Wings. What will be a very hungry Minnesota Wild team coming in, the Islanders after that, and Tampa Bay next Saturday night. The Predators don't start taking care of the puck and playing better. I don't care if these games are at home. This may not go well for them. So it's a big one coming up on Saturday night against the Rangers. They got to take care of the puck and see where things go after that. Big one for UC Saros. I would assume it's going to be Shesterkin versus Saros. You know, on paper, that's quite the goaltending battle. Saros has not been that level of goaltender so far this year. It's going to have to rebound on Saturday night.
Yeah, they need to turn a lot of things around. And I'm interested also in the home crowds with the team having lost 9 of 12 games I know some Razor fans who will be there, you know, and look, there's always a good presence, not always, but often a good presence of the visiting team in there. I just feel like Preds fans are really disillusioned right now. Does that start showing up in the atmosphere? I mean, I think it has already, if you want to compare it to when it was at its absolute best, but it's still been very good. They need to get energy from the home crowd and feed off it and get a streak going at home. But I just don't know the way they're playing if that's even a possibility right now.
It's 34-14, your called shot, your score prediction for Tennessee and Missouri tomorrow.
Yeah, let's go with that. 34-14. Maybe a missed extra point in the rain makes my Pigskin Pick'em pick correct. Can I say one thing real quick, Robbie?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I just want to show this right here.
What are you showing?
I just showed my Nolensville Knights logo. Huge game tonight. Get ready for a crazy wild atmosphere out at Nolensville High School,
baby.
Let's
go.
Get ready for a huge. Yeah. White County, they got an incredible rushing attack, okay? They got an incredible rushing attack. They got a running back, Malachi Dowell, with like 3,000 freaking yards. But you know what? We're going to bring the storm tonight in the crowd. That's all I have to say.
Bring in the storm. Friday's high school football playoffs. Make sure you're tuned in for the game Blitz with Elijah Campbell and Joe Dubin. They'll have you covered tonight on that front as well. That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. on Monday morning. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Caroline, Willie, and D-May is coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.